When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts on the mind of a cartoonist. So, writing. Saw on the forum that some folks were talking about how we don't do enough talk about writing. It's art and story, after all. And I can tell you, what's funny about this topic getting brought up as something that doesn't get discussed enough is it's something that I often feel like perhaps I focus too much on as a in these audio essays. And it ties into, speaking of essays, it ties into something that I struggle with a lot with the Thunder Punch Daily as a show, is that I oscillate back and forth between, well, should it be a journal show talking about my life, or should it be a series of essays that are intended to be somewhat useful and reflective about the craft of making comics in the first place? And I lean, 90% of the time, I lean towards essays, because I think that they're much more useful and they're something you can go back to time and time again. Although someone might make the counter argument, well, let's not go into arguing back and forth, because this is the problem that I always have, is I always see both sides of the issue, and it's it cripples me sometimes. But writing, it just so happens that I just finished a project for a freelance project that I did for a client where I was, and I've been talking about this in a lot of past Thunder Punch Dailies, creating a superhero universe to create stories for really young kids, like, you know, 7-8 year olds, promoting healthy living habits. Don't be a bully on the playground. Wash your hands to prevent the spread of germs. Simple things. And which I've talked many times before about how it's a bit of a dream project for me as somebody who grew up on He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, the Super Friends cartoons, G.I. Joe, shows that really did that very well, in my opinion, telling exciting adventure stories with a pro-social message sort of below the radar. I think it had a really profound effect on me as a person, and I like the idea of creating really fun and exciting adventures that will help make the future generation of kids, hopefully, a little bit better people. But anyway, so the interesting headline for me right now is, well, before I hit the headline, I'm going to hit a disclaimer. As of this recording, I am of the opinion that when it comes to writing, it's very similar to things like Buddhism, where you're trying to point people at something that they have to discover for themselves. Everybody's going to find their own path into writing. There's no one path, and that's one of the reasons why I recoil from the idea of the 15 steps to such and such or the 12 steps to so and so, because it's not a guarantee. Everybody's going to find their own way. There can be no set of rules. And therefore, I'll have to borrow from Eastern philosophy and religion to say that all we can do is point you at the moon. You got to find your own way to the moon, and all we can do is offer a few thoughts on how we found the moon, if that makes any sense. So that said, the headline for this particular episode is, when it comes to writing, a trick that I find is extremely effective, at the very least in writing for commercial projects, working in a freelance capacity, is finding the essential aboutness of the story. This is not going to be new material to some people who have listened to a lot of art and stories, but maybe this will be a good refresher course or a refresher reminder for people who haven't listened to some of these writing-based episodes in a while, is the aboutness. What is the story about? All, in my opinion, this is something I say a lot in my classes, in my opinion, all writing is relaying something that happened, whether it's made up or whether it's something that really happened, and knitting all of those events into some kind of a takeaway, some kind of a point. You know, I think of the line from the movie Planes, Trains, and Automobiles with Steve Martin and John Candy, where Steve Martin completely unloads on John Candy in the hotel room, and he says, and here's an idea, when you're telling one of your amusing anecdotes, have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener. It's a joke, but I think it's a really effective reminder of what people like in stories. They like to know, what was the point of this? What was the purpose of this? Now, the purpose can be just to sort of, I'm not going to dig too deeply into this, but just to sort of qualify my statement here, the purpose can be just noticing that trees are beautiful. It could be something very simple. You know, people have described Wes Anderson movies to me as just being there. That's what the movie's about. That's not enough for me, and that's why I don't really understand or walk away feeling satisfied from watching a Wes Anderson movie. Although I understand that there must be something there because a lot of people seem to like them. But for me, it's really what gets the wheels turning is finding what is the aboutness. The aboutness is one of the key ingredients to a story. Okay, so using a recipe analogy, making a cake, yeah, whether you are a artisanal baker or whether you are just somebody making a cake for a friend at home, you're using a lot of the same ingredients, and it's how you combine those ingredients and what temperature you set the oven to and how long you bake it. That's what determines the taste and texture and flavor of the cake, right? Sorry, I'm thinking about cakes a lot because I've been watching a lot of Cake Boss. But I think the analogy is strong, is that a lot of these ingredients are the same. And this is how I approach writing for clients when I'm doing comic stories. So let's take case in point this coloring book that I did. And there were some very specific challenges I ran into in doing a story that was aimed at 7 and 8 year olds. Although I borrowed a lot of my own experience doing projects like Sugar Cereals, where I was working with a lot of limitations, trying to tell a story in 8 to 16 pages and have an act break at a certain point and so on, which you've heard me talk about before. But what's really cool about working for clients, and when I worked for Glencoe McGraw-Hill and most recently working for this company out of Chelsea, Michigan, is the aboutness was placed as a condition of the project up front. I didn't pick the aboutness. I didn't pick the point or the takeaway of the story. They contracted me to write a story about X. So when I worked for Glencoe McGraw-Hill for the series of stories that I did with Sarah Turner of cricket-press.com for their Backpack Readers series, they said, write a story with a high sense of adventure and action, but it has to have something about friendship. This one has to be about friendship. This one has to be about finding your own value as a person in a group, finding individual value in a group. Okay, now I've got something, I've got a point, and now when I take all my ingredients, my cast, my environment, and whatever the conflict that I come up with, all has to point towards that aboutness, okay? This sounds really kind of, ethereal and kind of ghost-like and hard to pin down, and it is. A lot of writing is trying to pin down a slippery fish that keeps slipping out of your hands, and on the one hand, that can be an extreme, a real struggle, and it can be extremely frustrating and antagonizing, but on the other hand, it can also be a really fun challenge of wrestling with the story. I talked about this with the Boulder and Fleet thing, how the aboutness changed in the story. Go back and listen to, I'll link to these episodes in the show notes or in the post. Going back to my struggles with writing Boulder and Fleet, is I thought it was going to have one kind of takeaway, but in the struggle of working with the limitations of the page restriction and the panel size restriction and the font size restrictions, I didn't have the room to explore what I thought the takeaway was. And through drawing the story and writing with pictures, I found a different takeaway altogether, which was just as good, if not better. So sometimes these things can happen just through the sort of in the back of the brain while you're just doing the drawings. But that said, I think if you're having trouble coming up with story ideas, and it is my contention that everybody has a story to tell, it's just a matter of sort of coaxing yourself into just going through the motions of doing it. And this is one of the reasons I keep harping on this idea of mini comics, these little short stories, because it's great training for you as a storyteller. It's great training for you as an artist, is start with a completely arbitrary takeaway aboutness point and try to find your way to that in the story. So with this coloring book, the aboutness that the takeaway that I was presented with was, we want you to do a story about hygiene, about the importance of washing your hands with a superhero universe of monsters and good looking heroes. How do you do that? How do you make something with rip-roaring action adventure, punching, explosions, and it's got to be about washing your hands. How the heck do you do that? Well, this is what a writer does, right? They take these elements and they find the connections between these things in creative ways. This is where the creativity comes in. And granted, I want to make this point abundantly clear. I understand that I'm not writing stuff here that's going to net me an Eisner or a Harvey or an Ignatz Award. That's not the point. The point is to write something that's going to delight children. That's my goal here, is not to be remembered, you know, 12 generations from now, but to entertain these kids now while fulfilling the goal of my client, which is to make kids more cognizant of this idea of washing your hands, okay? So it's also... writing is about understanding what the goal of the project is as well, right? If you're going into it with modest goals of just delighting yourself and delighting a target audience, then that also kind of lifts the burden off of you of this whole idea of making something wondrous and memorable for generations to come. Again, I think most writers will agree with me that even the award-winning ones is that they didn't set out to win an award. They didn't set out to set the world on fire. They were just writing something to delight themselves, after all, or to please a boss. If you're working for a Marvel or a DC, you want something that'll make the boss happy and will hopefully make a few people chuckle or feel transported to someplace else. So I was presented with washing your hands. And I thought, okay, well, if washing your hands is the good behavior, then the bad guys are going to want you to not wash your hands, right? Okay, so the bad guys are going to do something to create a crisis where if the good guy doesn't wash his hands, they will have an advantage somehow. Okay, there's the sort of like logic questions you start presenting yourself with to start generating creative ideas. And we're dealing with fantasy, so I thought, okay, well, maybe the bad guys, after all, we have a character on the bad guys team that I created called, what is his name? Professor Mucus von Snotbottom. Professor von Snotbottom. And so he comes up with a weapon that will cover you in some kind of germ-infused goop. And if you don't wash it off in time, you're going to get sick. And when you get sick, you get cranky. And if you get cranky, and this is some kind of like fantasy ooze with fantasy germs in it, it'll make you go crazy and you'll start fighting amongst yourselves. So the goal is get the heroes fighting amongst themselves so that they'll be disoriented and distracted. And then the bad guys can attack and take over the good guys' base. Pretty straightforward stuff. Pretty simple stuff. And so we coat one of the heroes in the goop. And then he comes back to the base and they say, hey, what's that stuff all over you? Get that off you. He's like, I'll wash it off later. No big deal, because he doesn't see the danger in it yet. And then all of a sudden he starts getting sick and then he goes crazy and gets mad. Now, remember, I'm only dealing with a 9-page story here. I don't have a lot of room to really go into a lot of the logic of this story. You kind of have to hit your points fast. And plus, it's aimed at 7 and 8-year-olds. They're not going to call me out on logical leaps where, why isn't this guy getting the goop off of himself? Okay. So, but that said, if somebody wanted to call me out and bring me to the mat and have me argue for my story, is that the character who gets covered in the goop, Turnbuckle Tootweiler, is an easygoing guy. He's laid back. He's casual. He is not like his foil in the story, who is Dame Lady Cat, who is very uptight, and she's the one who calls him out and says, hey, go clean yourself up. And to his response is, it's just a little goop. I'll clean it up later. I'm more interested in what's happening right here, that kind of thing. And so then, indeed, he does go crazy, starts attacking the good guys, and then the bad guys use that as an opportunity to strike. We get our fight, which is a key ingredient of a superhero story. You have to have some kind of physical conflict, exciting physical conflict. I didn't have a lot of room for that, so I really kind of sold it all with a full-page spread of of the bad guys smashing into the room with a couple different, you know, action panels. And then at the end, the crisis is resolved. I have to resolve the crisis somehow. How is he going to learn to wash his hands? Well, is somebody going to talk him down? Like, Turnbuckle, you have to go wash your hands to get this goop off you so you will stop being mean. No, he's already in crazy mode, so it has to happen by accident. In other words, I have to get him thrown into a tub of water. Well, this presented the opportunity for a comedy moment. Tub of water. Where am I going to have a tub of water in the good guy's base? Well, maybe the big dinosaur guy, Dino Gator, is taking a refreshing bath. And that's funny because we could see a big dinosaur character in a tub with a bubble bath and scrubbing his back and singing to himself. It's kind of haphazard. It's kind of random, but it's funny. And that'll make the kids laugh because they're seeing a dinosaur in the bathtub, you know? And so now I've got my tub of water. Dame Lady Cat kicks my character, Turnbuckle Tutwiler, into the tub of water. When he gets the goop washed off of him by virtue of the sudsy water, he's restored to normal. And then the tide is turned and the bad guys are sent packing. And then we drive this point home one more time when they say, hey, let's have a pizza party. We won. We saved the day. Let's have a pizza party to celebrate. Hey, where's Turnbuckle Tutwiler? Oh, he's washing his hands before he eats the pizza because after all, he learned his lesson. And everybody laughs. Okay, simple story, but it's a story. I wrote it. I constructed all these moments to reflect this point of washing your hands, keeping clean, good hygiene. Is it a little didactic? Maybe a little bit because, and I think that part of that was the limitations of the page count that I had. Also because the client was aggressively interested in making that point abundantly clear. Another limitation I ran into, and this is sort of like a sidebar note, is in aiming this towards seven-year-olds and eight-year-olds, I was really constrained in the language I could use. Not in terms of swears or anything like that, because I don't like to use those anyway. But in terms of the complexity of the language, if anybody remembers in the United States, there was this series of comics put out by Marvel Comics in conjunction with a children's show called The Electric Company. And the comics were called Spidey Super Stories. And they had a logo in the upper right-hand corner with a character from The Electric Company called Easy Reader. And he said, these books are easy to read. And indeed they were. They were really aimed at very young readers. And as a result of making the language very easy to read, you kind of lost the voices of the characters a little bit. I'll never forget, I was reading one where Dr. Doom was tricking the Silver Surfer into working with him to fight against Spider-Man. And the language that the Dr. Doom used was, Dr. Doom shows up and the human characters in the scene are saying, oh, it's Dr. Doom. He must be mean. And Dr. Doom says, no, I cannot tell a lie. I'm not a bad guy. You know, it using rhyme, which helps with young readers and everything. But, it was the Silver Surfer. I take it back. The Silver Surfer shows up. Oh, it's the Silver Surfer. He must be mean. No, I can't tell a lie. I'm not a bad guy. And then Dr. Doom says, I'm glad. My name is Dr. Doom. Like sugar and spice, I'm sweet and nice. And then he thinks in a thought balloon for now. You know, we get the idea that he's a bad guy, but we really lose the character's voices when you simplify the dialogue down that much. That's a whole other challenge of preserving character voice without having the advantage of using dialect, slang, really specific word choices, repeating word choices with your characters. Those are real big advantages to getting character voice to come across. And when you are limited to using simple words to speak to disenfranchised reader of the group, you do lose a little bit of that. But, you know, all that said, I think that I compensated for that with exciting visuals, with funny visuals, funny jokes showing Dino Gator in the tub. And it all came back to this idea of hitting the initial takeaway or aboutness of the story. I don't think this is the one trick that you need to know in order to write well, but if you are stuck on this idea of writing, how do I come up with a story? How do I make up things and connect them together so that it's a pleasing narrative? I think a go-to, 9 times out of 10 for me, is to ask, what's the point? What is the essential aboutness of the story? And so if you are to practice this method and you want to put this into, test run it on some projects, I really recommend doing some 8-page mini comics, 16-page mini comics, whatever page count you want. Don't limit yourself on the page count even, but just, try to have it be something that you can do in a month, in 6 weeks, and just pick completely arbitrary things. Pick an argument or a case that you want to make, even if it's something that you don't necessarily agree with. Going back to that Greek philosophy of you can't argue a point well unless you can argue the opposing side just as well. So even if it's something you don't agree with, just be completely arbitrary about it. Like, for instance, leaving the lights on in rooms you're not using isn't such a bad idea. You know, some people say it wastes energy. You want to make a compelling case against it? Do your best. This is like debating, right? This is like, just, I wonder, I wonder, this just occurred to me now, but I wonder if taking a debate class or I'm sure in iTunes, you could find some courses taught on debate or on, what's that other discipline that goes with it? Rhetoric, you know, rhetoric, just debating or trying to define a point. I wonder if that would be useful to somebody who is interested in writing, if you want to write in the case of, finding an argument and just trying to explore it through characters' viewpoints. Now, this, you know, somebody's going to point at Dramatica. There was a Comics Are Great that I did a couple months ago with Luis Escobar, where we were talking about this Dramatica writing system, which is really, you know, the comparison I made is it's like designing Dungeons and Dragons characters. It's a very similar kind of system of generating story ideas, and it's very game-like. And that offends some people. It makes some people feel itchy. Well, it's just one way of looking at it. And they themselves say that this is to write what they call the grand argument story, stories that propose a point. And I tend to lean towards I enjoy making those kinds of stories. Again, going back to an earlier qualification that I made, is that the point, the aboutness of your story doesn't necessarily have to be an argument. It could be that trees are beautiful. Okay, there's my argument. Okay, well, or that's my point that I want to make here. So now I'm going to tell a story that takes place in a forest. And what happens to the characters isn't really critical as long as we get to look at a lot of beautiful trees and have at least somebody at some point reflect on the fact that if not for these trees, what would we enjoy in life, right? Or even, you don't have to have them explicitly say that, but just, you know, sigh as they look at a tree. You know, I think about Miyazaki films where there are so many scenes that are just about enjoying nature. You watch My Neighbor Totoro, great movie. The point of the film is not explicit. It's their mother's sick, the girls are worried about her, and then they have a small misadventure in trying to get to their mother because they're worried about her and they don't know if she's going to live or die. That's really the aboutness of the story. And as a sub-aboutness of the story is, isn't nature beautiful and isn't it mysterious? And there are forces at work there that we can sort of work with or against. It's up to us. But there's really no cautionary tale, no remember kids, what do we learn today in this episode? There's nothing like that. It's just more about looking at how beautiful and mysterious the world is around us. And that can be, I think, very well, it could be very effectively encapsulated in an 8-page story. So it all depends on what you enjoy. So, okay, action plan. What are you going to do with this information? Well, then I would come up with two lists. I would come up with a list of different points that I think I would like to make if I were in a conversation at a party. Or another list would be just things that I think are really worth looking at. These things I think are beautiful. So if it were me, I would say things blowing up. I love drawing explosions. I love the kinetic energy of an explosion. I don't want to see explosions in real life. Pretend explosions are terrific. I just rewatched G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra, which I will admit is not a terrific movie. But I'll tell you, I was excited when they were running through Paris and cars are flipping left and right and people are dodging them and they're shooting guns and missiles. All that pretend violence was exhilarating to watch. So I would write that in my list, just things that you like, and it can be anything. It can be apples. It can be your cats. It can be a car tire, snowshoes, whatever you can look at for a long time without getting bored of looking at it. And then you make a story where the aboutness is, isn't this thing neat? That is an entry point for me in writing stories, and it's a way I like to sort of jumpstart my creativity. And then all the decisions I make in knitting my elements toward that aboutness, that happens in the back of the brain. That's just a matter of using a heuristic, you trial and error. Well, what about this? That feels weird. What about that? That feels trite. What about this? That's interesting. That makes me laugh. And that is when you're really doing some writing, in my opinion. Now, I have every intention of doing a Thunder Punch special about this subject in a little bit more detail with some of you other Supreme Storyers to get more takes on this, because I am interested in hearing what other people's sort of go-to mechanism for generating story ideas is. I'm sure there's more to it than just aboutness. This is just my way of looking at it, and I want to hear from more people about it. So you can either post in the forums, or I will get in touch with some of you about following up with some audio on this subject, because it is a fascinating thing that is really difficult to pin down. And I've gone on long enough this time. So who am I? I'm Jersey Droz, jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for supporting us in this project. We could not do it without you. Welcome to all the new subscribers, whoever's listening to this for the first time. There's a whole bunch more of Thunder Punch Daily to check out in the archives, which you now have access to. Tons and tons of episodes of High Adventure Daily, Mark of the Beast, Art and Story Supreme, videos, and the only episodes of Art and Story Extreme that you can get, which is our fun little show where we really don't have a point to it. There's no aboutness to Art and Story Extreme. It's just us talking about whatever crosses our mind that day. So if you ever wanted to get to know us a little bit more intimately, that's the show to check out. So I will be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember, everybody.
Today we saw Professor Smolin find a great treasure. It wasn't gold or jewels, but something even more precious, knowledge. There are many places to find knowledge, and one of the easiest and best is a museum. Museums are storehouses of knowledge where you can see and learn all sorts of fascinating things. There's probably one close to you, so pay a visit. Remember, knowledge is power. And you can get the power.